This episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join myself and Doug Norrie this week, Wednesday night, following the Toronto Raptors game, as you can get in on all the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. All right, of course, we got another good episode coming up for you. Myself and Doug Norrie are going to dive in on the latest news for Kevin Durant and his injury. And maybe it's comical, maybe it's not, but we're just getting nothing if not consistency out of the Brooklyn Nets organization and their classic caginess around concrete information about when we can expect players to return. So we take a look at that. We're also going to, of course, talk about the big picture around injuries for the Brooklyn Nets and maybe what they should think about doing down the stretch of the season. This is something that's not just Nets related. This is a lot of teams across the league. More injury updates for some of the role players, and then concerns around maybe the one guy that's been healthy for the most part in Kyrie Irving. After that, it's touching on, as we say, the league overall. Doug gives a ton of great examples around the way teams are approaching games on a night-to-night basis. The up and down of availability is nothing short of impressive, and it does speak to what has been now, for a second season, a very interesting path to the playoffs. Everyone's dealing with it. Everyone's suffering from it, except for maybe the crosstown Knicks. And yeah, I throw a little bit of shade, but that's the way it is. And we get into all of it right after the theme music.
You are Locked On Nets, your daily Brooklyn Nets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, welcome back to the Locked On Nets podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Doug Norrie, owner, operator, DFSR.com. Got you covered, all your betting and DFS needs for the NBA. Got you covered over there, MLB and hockey, too. So it's a one-stop shop. And that's Adam Armbrecht, the voice of the Brooklyn Nets on Sportscaster, the host of the One Giant podcast covering the New York football Giants. Basically, he's got New York on lock. Buddy, how are we doing on a Tuesday?
I'm feeling good. I mean, I think I'm feeling good. Here's the way I'd put it. As of yesterday, I was feeling pretty good, and I think I'm going to feel good for the entire podcast episode, but honestly, we'll have to wait and see what happens. Bottom line is I will be ready by the end of the podcast.
Are you giving your updates like the Nets give injury updates now? That's
where we're starting, because I got to tell you, man, you sent me a link over to, you know, to some of the alerts about it. They come out and you say, you know, no big deal. Little bit of that soreness in the thigh. We're not too concerned about it. Coach Steve Nash, quote, he's sore, but we don't know how severe. We'll see tomorrow how he wakes up and we'll go from there. Harrison Barnes, who works for ESPN, said, I spoke with somebody in his camp. I think this is a day-to-day injury. He'll be back. I know he'll be ready for the playoffs. All right, a lot going on here, friends. The playoffs are a month away. So just to be clear, if you tell me something is not too severe and then also tell me I won't see you for a month, I can't quite compute what's happening here. And it couldn't be any more, as we've said before, couldn't it be any more classic Brooklyn Nets, where after you do a post-game interview or a press conference with Steve Nash, you go, oh man, great information. You take two steps out of the room, pause, look back, and I assume Steve Nash just has a smirk across his face like, ha, 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 got you again. You fell for it. I did it to you again, all over. I'll see you tomorrow. Same information, and I'll just rearrange that verbiage for you.
It is funny, because like when you have spent the year kind of like looking, like, you know, this is like us here. When you spent the year or more just reading into what different, you know, coach speak means and what different organizational speak means, and it's easy sometimes to, you know, kind of fall victim to, oh, victim, that's the wrong word. It's kind of easy to just kind of move past something, right? Because it's funny, when I first read that Durant update that you were referring to, and I'm the one that sent it to you, it didn't even catch me right away until you kind of pointed it out. I'm like, oh, you're right. Like, this is a weird thing, because he's totally fine. And you're right, because you don't compute the part in your brain right away where it says the playoffs are 15 games away or a month away. But, okay, so right, he's going to be good for the playoffs, but that doesn't really give a timeline. I mean, the best timeline, that gives a month timeline or something like that. So
right, and also, if you tell me it's a month timeline, then it doesn't mean that he's okay. He's not okay. If it's a month before he gets back on the court, Kevin Durant is not okay. Or at the very least, you're concerned enough that you don't want to risk him re-injuring himself. But this feeds into what we had said the last couple of podcasts, just around these things and going back further, setting up our timelines. All the timelines are out the door now. Like And I guess I know we'll get into it, you know, in some different ways around what it means for the Nets, but specifically for Kevin Durant, okay, you know, go back and track the other injuries when they report about them. Usually when they're vague like this intentionally, or they're, you know, cautiously optimistic, but we'll see how things go, you usually add on a little bit more time. Remember when Kevin Durant was first coming back from the injury, the second stint coming back, and he was ramping back up, and we said, okay, he's going to play this week. Tack on another 7 days. That's when you can expect to see him. So even right now, and I'm not trying to go, you know, overboard on it, but when they say, yeah, you know, a little sore, we're not too concerned, but he'll definitely be ready for the playoffs. You know what? Tack on the first round series just to be safe. There's no guarantee that you're going to see Kevin Durant in the first round series. That's what you have to treat this information when it comes from. And listen, this is all teams probably, but with our experience with the Nets, you have to add on at least another handful of days before you can anticipate him being back. And that starts to get it into ramping this dude up in a playoff run. Even if the first round series is going to be a joke, you're still trying to get this guy in condition to give you 30, 35 minutes consistently over a 7-game series when it does matter.
Yeah, look, it's not the organization.
I apologize.
Don't apologize. It's not the organizational imperative to tell the fans every little bit of timelines and stuff. And we've spent the season talking about this at times. It's like the reason you sort of sometimes have loose timelines around this is to not set expectations too high around all stakeholders. And in this case, I'll call it the fan stakeholders, because while not, you know, technically on paper, it is, you know, in the end who you're playing for. So the part where you don't want to get people sort of riled up or expecting, or then if it doesn't meet a certain timeline because you missed it and then people are disappointed and maybe the player is too because they expected it, right? It does make sense to me to keep the timelines very loose sort of for everybody, because then the expectations can be managed. So I kind of get it. And I agree with you, because the part where you just can't, you can't take it at face value. You also can't take it at face value, right? Like you can't. Like, so you, both things are allowed to be true here. The team is allowed to just say whatever they want. You know, the team is allowed to just, you know, make any claims that they want to toward the public around when Kevin Durant's going to return. They don't owe anybody anything. So I get that part of it. But the fans can also make sure that they say, you know, well, we can't ever believe what's actually happening here. But you're never going to be able to go into Sean Marks' office and demand the answer or get him in trouble for not telling you the truth. So all you can do at that point is just manage your own expectations really carefully. And like Adam has done, and I'm presumably a lot of other people, is to read it very clearly about what it's actually saying and not do what I did and be like, nice, coming back soon, you know, and then
yes.
someone rational comes in the door and says, hey, that's not actually what that said. And you're like, oh shoot, that's not what that said. And so now I need to have my own expectations remanaged because I was incorrect in my first reading. So that's really the only takeaway, right? There's no other thing to be done. He's just going to come back when he comes back. So there's no being as mad or wanting it to be clearer. You can be old man shouting at the clouds as much as you want with this stuff. It's just not going to matter. So at that point, you can only then manage your own expectations and make sure you're very clear that when you read something, to probably read it three times and just to make sure you kind of know what it actually means.
Well, and the funny thing is, too, is I don't know what I'd rather prefer, because the first thing that some of the guys that come to mind in the NBA, a Greg Popovich, you know, he's just notoriously cagey, doesn't really like to do a lot of the in-between quarter, you know, interview stuff, and he'll kind of give vanilla answers, and then you go, ha ha, all right, see you later. But like in the NFL, Bill Belichick is also this disgruntled personality in front of the microphone. So everybody comes in there knowing, but we're not going to get any information out of him. What'd you think about that third down play there? Yeah, it didn't work. Next question, right? Like, right. And so you set expectations that way, and even though that it has to be frustrating for fan base, it has to be frustrating for media members, I don't know which I'd prefer. Like, would I rather Steve Nash just on the front end of this go, well, you guys obviously know there's not going to be much here, but let's dive in. I'm a friendly guy. I'm here for it. I love talking with you guys. You know, would you like the acknowledgement of it, or would you prefer they shut it down even more and just not have the information and leave it up to your own thoughts to wander. So I do get caught a little bit in between. But I mean, that'd be the equivalent of you and me coming on our Monday podcast and saying, yeah, listen, obviously, we got really hectic schedules coming up here, but we're looking forward to, we think we're going to be able to get on here every day this week, pretty certain, but we'll see. Probably won't be back until next week, though. All right, guys, we'll see you tomorrow. I mean, like, that's how sporadic and prodding this information comes across. And at the very least, listen, the Nets can afford to do it. I don't think you and I could afford to tell listeners we'll see you tomorrow and then say, oh, but what we meant was see you in 2 months.
And that's that. And that actually, that last part is the key, right? It's like who is the information keeper, and then how much is that information important to a larger group of people, and the more important it is, the cager you can be and not worry about the consequences. So it's one of those things with sports, and it's why, you mentioned Belichick and Popovich and guys like this, why when you're also perennial winners, you can do it even more, right? Like you can, if it's your first day on the job and you start to do that, see how long you last. It won't be long. It's like some of this stuff is you get to be over time.
Being in a job interview and you're the guy looking for the job and they say, when can you start? Give a Brooklyn Nets style response to that question and see if you get offered the job. I'd love to.
Oh yeah.
Theoretically, but of course,
but this is why, and this is why, like, offering those comparisons is silly. So anyway, and just to wrap this up, the key here is with all this stuff with Durant, if you see these timelines and you see this kind of thing, and if you're like me, like I said, and you say, oh, it's not that bad, I'll be back, and then just go back and reread it and see exactly what it says, and then go and look at your calendar to see when that actual thing happens, and then you'll start doing a little, the question marks will start popping up a little bit more. I want to talk about what the Nets have in store for this week coming up, the next couple days. I have to talk to you first about our friends over at Locker Room. Wednesday evening after the Raptors game, Adam and I will be over in Locker Room in the app talking about the game, breaking it down, doing a podcast episode in there, and then afterwards bringing folks up to talk about the game. We've had really good turnout the last couple of times. Some old favorites have been in there, some new folks as well, people coming up, talking Nets basketball. It's a really good time. The episode here is brought to you by Locker Room. It's the first social audio platform made for sports fans. Totally free download on iOS, and when you're in there, when we post the room, you come in and talk. It's a perfect place to start a joint conversations around the league. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns like we'll be doing on Wednesday, and of course, reacting to the big news or rumors. Go right now, download the free Locker Room app, which is available on all iOS devices. Create a profile, link to your Twitter, and then join us in the conversation. We will be there on Wednesday after the Toronto game. Locker Room, changing the way we talk about sports. Also got to talk to you about our friends over at Rock Auto. Buying car parts can be kind of a disaster, definitely intimidating. And sometimes you just don't know what the price you're getting. Don't know if you're getting the right part. Like I've talked to you before about this, that you go to the local place, they disappear from behind the desk into the warehouse of parts. You don't see them for a bunch of minutes. They come back with that unmarked box. You don't know if it's the right part. You don't know if it's the right thing for your car. You don't need to worry about that at all over at Rock Auto. Easy drop-down menus to search for your make, model, and year for your car. It's broken down by different parts for your car, so you can easily see the make and model and then the different parts you need. And you're getting a price that's 30 or even 50% better than those local places. You cannot beat rockauto.com. It's a family business. Go find that in the internet age, folks. A family business that's been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com right now. You'll find all the parts you need. And all you have to do when they say, where did you hear about us? Just type in Locked On, just like the podcast network we're on, so that they know that we sent you. Just type in Locked On in the how did you hear about us box. They'll know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com.
Oh, and don't forget, friends, the Locked On Podcast Network is covering the NFL draft from all angles. This is in my wheelhouse. I'm a mock draft kind of guy. I cover the Giants. This is what I live and breathe for ahead of the draft, which will come up at the end of next week. But they have the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 podcast presented by Odyssey. You can follow the Locked On NFL Draft and the Draft Dudes podcast for the latest draft news, and stay tuned for more information about the live NFL draft coverage that you're going to be able to hear right on the Locked On Podcast Network. Now, I think the KD situation then begets another question for the Brooklyn Nets overall. And by way of getting to it, there's Kevin Durant's not the only guy we may not see for a little bit of time here. Nicholas Claxton, he entered the health and safety protocols. He'll be out against the Pelicans tonight. So, and that was COVID-19 related. I'm assuming it's some type of contact thing, as the NBA has those policies around it. Reggie Perry, not that he's the, you know, end all be all. He's also entered health and safety protocols. You know, the update on James Harden is that the hamstring went through walkthroughs on Monday, but then we still have to wait for an update on his status per Alex Schiffer of The Athletic. Tyler Johnson, again, he's been cleared to resume running, but is yet to be cleared to get into scrimmage work. So, you know, the laundry list continues here around the Brooklyn Nets and injuries. And you made the point when we were going around about this, and I talked with Matt the other day, saying Kyrie Irving and the concern about taxing his body down the stretch here. Do you start to change your attitude about Kyrie Irving and safeguarding just this entire roster over the last month of this season here before the playoffs?
Oh, bubble wrap all these guys, dude. I don't know what else to say about it. There's no reason to push. I'm firmly now in the camp of this Durant thing pushed me. Now, it was different with Durant when he was ramping up, because I think for that part it seemed important to get his just kind of game shape going, right? Like, he's going to need to meet a certain minutes threshold that he just wasn't there yet. Now, whenever that happens, we talked about that for the first 10 minutes, so don't need to readdress that. But for everybody else now, I just don't know what the point in specifically Kyrie, I'll throw Joe Harris in this one, I'll throw Landry Shamet in this, anyone that's going to be relevant come playoff time, Blake is looking more, we didn't even mention, because they, you know, we've already sort of moved past it, but they had their other starting center who was in here, LaMarcus Aldridge, who's just not on the team anymore, and he's not coming back. But if you're just talking about just general depth, that's another guy that's just, you know, obviously not going to be on the team. So at this point, I just don't know what it does for you for these last 15 games, definitely for the short term, what it does to go and send Kyrie out there for 36, 37 minutes a game, put up a huge usage, have him do a ton and risk the injury. Because one, very few teams are doing this right now. I'll go through the laundry list here in a second of what other teams just decided to do just on Monday. But two, they're so depleted at this point. Seeding's not really going to matter. There's a few different factors here. I just don't know why you do it at all. I would just run a skeleton crew here for a couple games until Harden's coming back, and then you can get those two working together, because then you at least can make the point like, okay, it'd be nice to get some chemistry going again. Like, at least that can be sort of your operating thing. The part where Kyrie just goes out here and he and Shamet just combine for 40 shots with Joe Harris and they win or they don't against New Orleans, I just don't. It's crazy to say this because this is sports and you really should never root for this stuff, but we're at a point in the NBA season where I'm firmly in the camp of it does not make any sense to run these guys major minutes and frankly have them sit out a lot until they can get the other guys back and you can start, have them start playing together. I don't see a ton of reason to overtax them here in the short term.
Yeah, it's weird because in some of the samples that we've gotten around it, that I think leans to your thinking on it, Kyrie goes away from the team for a handful of games, comes back in, shoots the lights out. Kevin Durant has only played a handful of games this entire season, but when he walked back on the court last week, boom, looked like he was right in form, no problems. So the fact that your biggest players, your best players, your most important players are clearly capable of just stepping onto the court and getting right back into the rhythm. There isn't any rust to knock off for these guys. That makes it, I think, a lot easier to say, yeah, go ahead and sit, you know, go ahead and relax, Kyrie. We don't need you for, I don't know, 10 of these last games, maybe. Maybe we'll play you, you know, once or twice a week, per se, maybe even more than that. Maybe I just want to get you a couple of games, or maybe I just want Kyrie to take off the games this week and then see where Harden's at following it. The other thing that you mentioned too about, you know, safeguarding against some things, Shamet had a bit of a tweak. You know, he's come back and looked healthy and been very strong for this team. You love that. Do I want to risk him maybe tweaking something down the stretch and being out? Harris has been an Iron Man for the Nets over his tenure. He hasn't missed any time. Do I have any reservations about what could happen to him? So there may be some argument to say, if Reggie Perry was available, you know, all the other guys on the bench, let's get you out there. The only issue I think you probably run into is the Nets don't. I don't think the Nets have enough guys to just run anybody out there. They actually have to play some, you know, Kyrie may have to play some games because of the laundry list of injuries this team has right now. So that's the only, I think, tricky part if you're the Nets and you wanted to go that route is, do you have enough of a team that you can, and a guy like Jeff Green. You don't want to run Jeff Green ragged at 33, 34 years old, however old he is ahead of the playoffs. He'd be one of the guys maybe you would just, you know, drag down over these last 15 games to save your superstars. DeAndre Jordan may be one of those guys. But now without LaMarcus Aldridge, that changes how you look at him too. So it's interesting. I agree with you, and I don't know how possible or feasible it might be for the Nets to accomplish it.
Well, they haven't done it right now. They haven't added anyone yet in that LaMarcus spot. They do have, it's funny, you're right, because the Claxton and Reggie Perry thing actually throws this a little bit more in question than it was before. You're correct in saying it's easier said than done when it comes to sitting at least for this next game or two, right?
Right.
I'm just actually counting their available guys. They don't have Durant. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You're seeing a real feat here, guys. Doug's counting. Pay attention.
There are 10. I think I'm counting there are 10 guys right now that are available for Tuesday. And let me just correct me. Stop me if I'm wrong about any of these. Blake, Joe Harris, Bruce Brown, Kyrie, Jeff Green, Elise Johnson, TLC, Shamit, DeAndre. They're at 9. There are 9 guys.
9, yeah.
So there are 9 guys. You need 8 to play a game. So they were all right at that breaking point with Kyrie. And I guess I'm not meaning maybe this one specific game here, if I'm just going to walk it back for 2 seconds. It's more in that this is something that they really need to keep in mind over these next 15
games. Oh, yes, yes, right. Yeah. I'm not pigeonholing you on that. Yeah, 100%. I think your overall point is 100% fair about how they should approach the next month of the season.
Yeah, because, right, the next month of the season has to be very, very managed. And like I said, you know, I'll give you 2 seconds. Well, let me just, we'll do a quick read here, and then I'm going to talk about what some of these other teams, because the Nets are one of these few teams that hasn't really done this too much this season. And like I said, Monday night was just an example of how a lot of the rest of the league is treating these dog days of April, which is essentially what they are in basketball. It's really unlike what we've ever seen before in terms of injury management, minutes, player sitting. It's crazy. Like I said this many times in the podcast, what happens nearly every night is more resembles what usually happened in the last 3 to 4 days of a season. And now it's every night with a month to go. It's literally insane. Talk about that in 1 second. First, got to talk to you about our friends over at betonline.ag. Go over and start betting on basketball, folks. The injury news alone has you going to have you covered over at BetOnline. You see when the guy gets ruled out, you go throw a bet in a BetOnline. You're going to get some good action over there. It's the fastest and easiest way to bet on all the sports that you follow, NBA, NHL, obviously MLB every single night. They have real-time updated odds and props and anything you can imagine. Nets still the favorite over there on BetOnline to win the championship. And they also have all the news, scores, and odds that you need as well. It's just the best place to place your bets, and it's totally free to sign up. You head on over to the website, betonline.ag, on your mobile device. Sign up today, and you're going to receive a 50% welcome bonus when you make that first deposit. And I think you're going to want a deposit, folks. BetOnline, you go and use you get that welcome bonus. You have to use the promo code LOCKEDON for a 50% welcome bonus. Locked On. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And today, through the 26th, you can listen to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaCanfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team are making trades and picking the next stars of their teams. You can search the Ultimate Mock Draft on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast needs fulfilled. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's Odyssey, AUDACE. Now hit me with some of these teams here around the league, because it does perfectly illustrate your point, and this is a stark contrast to when teams maybe start to manage some of their roster and look at it relative to the years past, right? This is happening quicker and at a much broader scope, it feels like, than we're used to.
Okay, so on Monday, I'm not going to go through what each of these injuries are. They're at varying levels of severity. Most trend to not that severe, so I'll just start there. But some are definitely more than others, but I'm not going to go through each guy. Here's the list of players who sat out on Monday for what ended up being a pretty big slate of games. I'll try to keep it kind of combined to teams, but it's not perfect. Ben Simmons, Tobias Harris, Domantas Sabonis, Miles Turner, Kemba Walker, Marcus Smart, Roy Hachimura, Jeremy Grant, Mason Plumlee, Zach LaVine, Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Jonas Valanciunas, Dylan Brooks. Most of the OKC regular starters were ruled out early, and that's when we started. We're recording Tuesday night, and there was a couple more that got added after we started recording. That list is ridiculous. Like, that is so many. It's the amount of key guys that are on the, now some of these teams are tanking, like Detroit, we know, with Jeremy Grant and Plumlee and stuff like that. Some are resting. These are all varying levels of why the player sat and when they're going to be back and all this other stuff. This list is unbelievable. And it's not even, this isn't a one-off. There was a night a few weeks ago where it was like, the list was even longer. I should go back and find it. And I'm usually doing it because I'm managing minutes around the entire NBA for DFSR, so I'm really in tune to this stuff. It's literally like this every single night. Some nights, like Monday, are just worse than others, but it's not like most nights aren't like this. It's almost always either they're ruled out or there's just really insane question marks around whether the guys are going to play leading into the game. So it's the herky jerkiness of this injury announcement stuff is nearly untenable if you're trying to just figure out minutes and opportunity and all that other stuff. And like I said, it's completely unheard of in terms of the way basketball has typically run. I get that there's all those reasons. My point being is no other team seems to have an issue with this stuff, so the Nets shouldn't either. Like, is my point. It's like, right, there's nothing. Right.
Everybody else is doing it, so this isn't the one. We're not the one to throw your arms up over the fact that the Nets are experiencing or giving us an experience that a lot of other teams are giving as well.
Of course. Some teams are worse than others. Some have run worse than others. Toronto has had an unbelievably bad run of stuff that's gone on for them this year. Okay, it's not the same for every team. Some teams like Detroit are just in full tank mode. Even if you start, it doesn't mean you're going to play. Like, it's all over the map with and the Detroit thing is not too dissimilar to what's happened in years past. But the Toronto thing, like, they've dealt with so much stuff.
Detroit's the only team that's being consistent.
They're consistent. They're consistent in that you can just flip a freaking coin. Like, you don't know what's going to go on with their team on a given night. OKC is not too far away from them in terms of like how they've managed this stuff. But in general, even the good teams like Philly, these guys are in and out. The Miami, Indiana, like I mentioned, the other good teams in here that played with a lot of these guys. You know, Memphis is still making a playoff run. So this isn't a tanking situation. This is just teams trying to see the light at the end of the tunnel and making sure everyone gets to the finish line in one piece. That's what that list really more speaks to. It's not that, you know, they're not very in level with tanking.
Well, because then let me ask you then, because this is one of the things, and this is the thought that I had around it, because, listen, I listen to some local radio stuff when I'm out and about, and the New York Knicks, and I'm not trying to pick on the crosstown rivals, because we're better than them anyway, so why would I need to? But when you talk about a team like them, who's had a very strong season, now they don't have Mitchell Robinson, but they've been primarily healthy. They've gone fairly unscathed. When you look at a team like that, who currently, as of this very moment that we're recording, is the sixth seed, 31-27. How are you supposed to, like, how can you evaluate what that really means? Like, what is this team really? Because you mentioned Toronto, a team that hasn't been home the entire season, has dealt with a ton of injuries and ups and downs, everything else. The Boston Celtics were a brutal start to the year, and they're actually ahead of the Knicks right now in the standings based on their records. And Miami Heat, brutal start. They're just narrowly behind, a game and a half behind the New York Knicks. So this isn't me trying to pour cold water on the Knicks fan base, but when I look at the Knicks team at 31-27 in this type of season, especially in the Eastern Conference, with what's gone on with almost every other team around them, you should be a two seed. I mean, like, you know, the fact that you're a six seed clinging on to try and avoid a playing game is almost laughable. And just a quick footnote on the Toronto Raptors, they still have a positive point differential on the season right now, in spite of everything that they've gone through, and they're sitting there in the 10th seed in a playing game spot, even though they're supposedly tanking.
Well, the real reality is that in a regular season that was played along just regular lines, the Knicks would be pretty far under 500. I don't think that's in question here. I think that the fact that they've maintained relative health around guys like Randall, I mean specifically Randall, I guess because he's their best player, but just in turn they haven't really had too much turmoil when it comes to the starters. They've played over their heads too, so I'm not dismissing them outright. They played really well this season relative to probably their punching above their weight when it comes to their talent, even in a season like this. So I agree with that part of it, but the part where they're this specific team is four games over 500 has a lot to do with that. There just hasn't been much turnover or turmoil on their team right now. The playoffs started. If the playoffs were to start like tomorrow, and the Nets were in a situation where they could get to the 3 seed or instead of the first seed, the Knicks were in the 6 seed, the Nets would be incentivized to lose the game to make sure they could play the Knicks. That's where I feel like the Knicks stand compared to almost all these other teams, in the Celtics, the Heat. Not the Hornets so much, but they might end up dropping all the way because they're just so decimated by injuries. But then you have the Pacers and Raptors underneath, even the Bulls kind of, like with Vooch, I don't know. So the Knicks right now, they're 31-27. You'd take them, I think, in a seven-game series over any of the other teams around them. But it's more of a testament to they've been able to maintain pretty much a consistent level of health over the course of the season. Haven't really sat anybody for just, the Celtics sit another guy every third night. That's just what they've done the season. The Hawks were really, really troubled with injuries to start the season. The Bucks have done a couple games where they just emptied the bench and played Giannis's brother and Sam Merrill and Jalen Norwell and Norwell guy. I can't even remember his name. But these are the guys they played for multiple games. Point being, the Knicks don't fall into that category. They played a lot of their main guys and they're having a nice season and they're going to make the playoffs. But sometimes you can't look at the records of all these teams and think that's telling you the true story of the season, because this story again has been so crazy in how it's worked out that it's going to be one of the seasons where the seeding is really not going to tell the story of what's going to happen if everyone gets healthy miraculously when the playoffs start. It's going to cause complete and crazy turmoil because the teams are going to be all different levels of talent, actually different probably than where they ended up in terms of seeding.
A couple of quick points and then a question before we get out of here for you. The Knicks are in the division. I know we all focus on divisions in the NBA. They're 2-8 against the likes of the 76ers, the Nets, the Toronto Raptors that are all inside of that division with them. And I think that does give you, throwing the Celtics there as well, that does give you a sense of where this team really is against some of the better talent within the Eastern Conference. The other thing is that Jabari Parker played the other day for the Celtics, and he's 26 years old. I feel like that guy is 40. He has had one of the longest, weirdest, shortest careers that I can wrap my brain around, which I just think is odd. You don't have to comment on that. Don't worry about it. The other question I did want to ask you, though, Raptors are right now in that 10th seed, the play-in game. Luka come out last week or whatever it was. I know we're getting far afield, but he said, I don't love it. You're in a 7th seed. You feel like you want it. Do you like the play-in? Do you like the new structure with those extra play-in games and saying, hey, if you're 7-8 seeds, you still have to earn those spots ultimately, and you have a slight edge by only needing to win one versus two? Do you like the new setup?
For this year, I actually don't mind it because it's your probably best chance of getting the actual eight teams that are supposed to be in the playoffs in there. Right? Like, I think that I think that there's a chance that the way it's just going to shake out is that it's going to be where one of these other teams that maybe didn't have enough health or goes on a late season run because they got healthy or something like that ends up making it. It's not something I think about too often, so I don't have great opinions one way or the other. I do think in this particular season, it's the most likely chance that you'll get to have a team that probably deserves to be there over another team into the playoffs, which you'd much rather have. And I'd always root for the part where the team that should be there gets into the playoffs, because that's just going to make the product better. So if the play-in game right now went down between, and I'm sorry because I don't know exactly how it plays out, but let's say it was between the Hornets and the Raptors right now, and the Raptors could play themselves in even though they were the 10th seed and they were fully healthy at the time, you would much rather have them be in the playoffs than the Hornets, right? So and especially considering how much their season just got completely screwed this season. So I think from that
standpoint, the only downside being that just in, like in the East, where you have a team that are 24 and 34 right now, you go again. You know, now you're getting back to those weird waters where you're like, oh, 10 games under 500. We'll see you in round one.
Yeah, but like you said, they're 10 games under 500 with a positive point differential. Explain that one. That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. That's like the kind of season we're in.
Their Pythagorean record is slightly above 500 team. To be 10 games under your Pythagorean is unheard of. It means you've run so bad.
We talked about luck the other day, right? Luck, you have had a total lack of it. The Toronto Raptors need it by the bucketful, and they can't find any of it.
Right, exactly. And even when it looks like it's going to kind of course correct, something else happens, and I don't know. It's been a mess. Anyway, so just general NBA thoughts here. Like we said, it kind of all does tie in together about where the Nets should be going, what they should be looking for now, and what we should expect over these next few games in terms of playing and not playing and just relative to where it is with the NBA. Because if you only follow the Nets, you might be missing the fact that this is what's happening with these other teams on a nearly nightly basis. It wouldn't just be the Nets that are kind of throwing in the towel in the regular season. Most other teams have done it as well. It doesn't help the Nets here that 9 of their next 11 games are on national television. I don't think that's how the NBA really planned this one. Between ESPN, TNT, and NBA TV, I'm pretty sure it's 9 of the next 11 are landing at somewhere. So it gets a little weird around that, though. The NBA has relaxed its protocols a little bit about who's supposed to be playing in those games. So it's going to be an interesting set of games here, folks. Not going to expect Kevin Durant back for any of them because, again, we're looking for the playoffs for him. But for the Nets in the short term, we might be seeing some weird lineups here over the next couple of weeks. All right, we're going to get out of here. Rate and review the podcast wherever you listen. 5 stars or bust. Make sure you join us on Locker Room. We'll throw another reminder out for tomorrow's podcast after the game. We'll be coming at you after the New Orleans game. But in the meantime, rate and review the podcast wherever you listen.
Hey, apropos of nothing whatsoever, I'm not an executioner. I'm the best GD Bird lawyer in the world. Charlie Day.
Charlie Day, one of the all-time great American poets. We'll be back again tomorrow talking more Brooklyn Nets basketball.